Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to have to keep this right underneath my chin. And if you're not understanding me, please raise your hand, because it's important tonight that you understand everything I'm going to say. Can I get dressed? Okay, let me show you something. I'm going to embarrass my wife, but hang in there with me, okay? Now, I looked at 5 months. I'm serious. You can see this is real fashionable. But I had gone to the doctor after this thing had started, and they gave me a shot, and my head went, and I couldn't raise it up. And I was bound and determined not to give up. And I got tired of holding my head up with my right hand, because my left arm was paralyzed. And I wanted to do something, and the only thing I could think of doing was taking the trash to the road. But I couldn't see where I was going. So I put the cap on one day and found my hunting suspenders and cut off one side. And you see now, and it works. And if you don't think I didn't look like a sight in short pants at about 120 pounds, big old baggy clothes on, that thing a flapping in the breeze, and I'm going down the road on a four-wheeler with a trash can on the back. It was a sight to behold. Now I'm going to get dressed again. Now I've embarrassed my wife, but I told her I was going to do that. I'm going to tell you something. I've got some pictures here, and I'm going to let you pass them around. And y'all get up and move from side to side. Now, this isn't as bad as I was, but this is an example of what had happened to me. And I'm going to tell you something. In the beginning of all this stuff, I had been a preacher for about 30 years. I have done everything right. And I asked God, why did this come upon me? I never smoked. I never drank. I never did drugs. I never did any of the things that would cause people to have the problems I was having. And yet it was upon me. And immediately I thought about Job. He didn't do anything, but he was in a test. And folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, you can't have a testimony without a test. Yours is coming. And if I have to, I'm going to come down there and get eyeball to eyeball with you. But I just seen Pastor John, and I want to thank you tonight for letting me have this time. Because we're going to share some of the things in the scripture that cause this thing to cause to be a winner in this. I've got page after page after page of written testimony. Now, you have to understand, whenever all this was going on, I'd lost my voice. I don't have much of one now, but I refuse to shut up. The same way I refuse to have my head down all the time. If you want to tell me I can't, that's the quickest way for me to find a way that I will. And so I just decided one day that whenever this thing started, I asked God, I said, why didn't you just let me die when this heart problem come up? I could have sat down in the recliner and passed away and never heard at all, rather than have to go through 16 months of torture. You know something? He never said a thing to me. That's all right. Because I want to tell you, at the end, whenever it was all said and done, when the doctor said, I don't have any cancer in my body, whenever they couldn't figure out where it went, I was at the house sitting down, and it was so loud that you could have heard it. And he said, you fought the good fight of faith. And I jumped up and looked to see who was there. Now, in order to fight the good fight of faith, you must know about the whole armor of God. In the whole armor of God, you've been given one piece of equipment to do battle with, and that's what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word. Now, I am a teacher of the Word first. I've been called to preach, but I love teaching, and it takes time to teach people how to use the Word. But if you use it correctly, you'll win every time. Because I want to bring this illustration up. Jesus used what to fight the devil? He said, it is written, the Word. Whenever you establish in yourself the Word, then you can look at it and understand this. God is love. That's all He is. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, I want you to understand first, some of you are about to enter into a trial. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But I can tell you this. When you get into one, God's not out to stomp a mud hole in you. Did everybody hear that? He's not out to stomp a mud hole in you. But the devil's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he can kill you in the process, he'll do it. But whenever you find out who you are and what you are and your rights in the Word of God, you can go to him and say, "It is written." The scripture tells us in 3 John, he said, "I would above all things that you prosper." And what? Be in good health. Well, let me tell you something. Cancer is not in good health. I can tell you that. Whenever I was here 1 year ago, this is 2 months past 1 year, I sat right back there. I could not lift this arm. These fingers didn't work. This arm didn't work because those tumors had pinched that nerve and there was no relief. Folks, it hurt 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And whenever I was here and whenever those pictures were taken, I had enough drugs in me to kill a water buffalo. And that's the way I survived. And I couldn't find out anybody to help me. Now, whenever they put you, how many of you know what hospice is? When they put you on hospice, they've written you off. They put me on hospice. Well, folks, I got mad. I mean, I got mad. I said, "Devil, you're not going to kill me. I am not going to die from cancer or heart disease." And everybody that would come to me, and Calvin knows this, whenever his son came and they were at the McDonald's in Belton, which is not far from my house, those kids come up there to pray for me. I said, "Look at this." And I looked a sight to behold, skin and bones. I went from 265 pounds to like 130, 135. I never weighed whenever I was just skin and bones. And I have huge bones because the doctor that did that pelvic deal where they drill that hole in you and take the bone marrow, I thought I was going to have to slap him upside the running lights. He punched three holes in me trying to get a hole in my pelvis. He said, "That's the hardest bone I ever seen in my life." Well, that's all I was bone and skin. And it hurt. And finally, whenever he got through and doing all that, and they found out, I could have told him there wasn't any cancer there. It was all up here and in my chest. But they weren't going to listen. And while I was sick and I woke up from surgery, the father had spoke to me about different things. He said, "If you take their chemo, you'll be dead in 2 weeks." Now, wake up from heart surgery and you're thinking, if I take their chemo, I'll be dead in 2 weeks. What does that mean? My wife hadn't told me, no one had told me, that they had found cancer. Also, while they were doing the angiogram, where they pump that garbage in you and check your heart. Now, this is wild, because my wife was in the next room with the doctor standing, and my wife's standing here, the doctor's standing here, and I'm standing over here. And I'm looking at the screen with him while I'm in there laying on the table. And he said, "Look at this." And he puts his hands up there. He says, "You see this? There's no damage in that heart." Folks, I had a heart attack that put this big boy on the floor begging not to die. That's how bad it hurt. And yet, am I not telling you the truth, Sylvie? She knows what I'm talking about. He says there's no damage. Now, the scars I've got, which I have them on my neck, my voice is missing, is all done by the doctors. It's all their good handiwork. I had some good doctors, though. But the best they can do is kind of cripple me up. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to shut up. Everywhere I go, even whenever I go get my telephone, which I just got back, I got another telephone. It's singular. I walk in there and tell them I give my testimony. I said, "I'm a miracle. I'm Lazarus. I'm back from the dead." I said, "I was dead. They gave me," I don't know whether you were there at the hospital. No, Sylvie was. I was at King's Daughters Hospital. And I had ceased to be able to swallow water, folks. Now, you don't know how bad that is. You're so dehydrated that your lips stick together and won't come apart. And I was dying. And every time those, just like those kids were at that McDonald's, I'd say, I don't care what you see, I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And it was this loud that I said it in a whisper, because I didn't have anything else to say it with. I am healed. You say, Brother Benny, you don't look too good. Well, you don't look so good either. So you say, you don't sound too good. Well, my wife's enjoying the peace and quiet. So you ought to pray and give thanks for that. But I am not going to shut up. I'm going to, if I have to stand before everybody with a microphone stuck to my chin and turn it up as far as it'll go and preach this gospel, I'm going to let you know the word works. Use it. Use it as the sword of the Spirit. Whenever you can't do nothing else, and I've cried, I don't know how many buckets of tears, because I didn't understand, but I never complained. Never. Whenever I couldn't say anything, I was crying. Whenever it would come up on me to be mad about it, pray in the Spirit. Keeps your mouth and your tongue in line. Because power of life and death are in the tongue. That's what the Word says. So I got, you know, with all that years of teaching and stuff, I said, now it's time to put it into application. It's either live or die. Do I look dead? Do I smell dead? Well, there's a possibility of that. I've done. But I promise you, the old Benny died. The guy I work with is a pastor of a Spanish missionary, a mission church here in Killeen, and I've known Jose for about 15 to 18 years. I knew him before he got saved, and I've known him after he got saved. And I'm telling you what, he calls me Lazarus, because I was dead. He used to come over. Never call, never say when he's coming. He just shows up and comes in. Hey, Benny, ¿cómo estás, everybody's? That's how are you beans. So, and we just, and there's times whenever I was so sick that people would come and I couldn't even whisper to you because I was hurting so badly. And every time things got so bad, rather than gripe and complain, either praise God or pray in tongues. It works. You say it took 16 months to get over it, but I'm here. I'm here. Had I given up in that time, I'd have been dead. And I said, I've had enough, I'd have been dead. Because there wasn't a thing they could do. I had reached a point that I was beyond fixing. And the wife and I went the day after. They didn't give me much over a day to live. I went to Waco to receive a radiation treatment. That's why I've got this big old scar. My head won't turn but that far on that side. It's because they burnt me up. I went in for one treatment. Now remember, 3 years, 3 months before this, I'd been living on baby food. That stuff's garbage. No wonder they spit it up. I mean, strained peas looks just like it tastes. But that's all I could get down. And I had to eat standing up because I couldn't sit down. Believe it or not, I had no rear end at all. It was all bone and skin. And to sit down in a chair hurt. So I had to lay down to spread out the weight so that I didn't hurt. So after this baby food diet for about 3 months and couldn't swallow water, and they'd given up on me. They said I was going to die. They told her I was going to die. I go and I take this treatment, and when we're leaving there, I was there for the treatment. Lasted 33 seconds. They're frying you like a microwave. 33 seconds under deadly radiation. Well, when they got through, we come out of there, and I told the wife, we started back, and I said, there's a black-eyed pea, and I'm hungry. She looked at me like I've lost my mind. I did. I said, let's go in there and see what we can do. As a loving partner in this, I mean, I can't thank her enough that she's had to live through this thing with me. She withstood it all and hung in there with me and prayed for me and encouraged me whenever I was down. She said, okay, so we whip into the Black Eyed Pea. Now remember, I can't swallow water, much less anything else. Guess what I had? I was looking in the menu. Ooh, iced tea. I hadn't tasted iced tea in a long time. And all that beef stew looks good. So I ordered it. She said, well, you know, if he can't eat it, I can take it home. She can eat it for supper. I ate the whole thing. Now, when I asked the doctor, because I had to come back for another treatment, I asked him, I said, what happened? He said, I don't know where it went. I don't know what happened to the cancer. It's just gone. I don't know where it went. It don't work that fast, so it's God. Now, whenever you get mad at the devil and you say, I've had enough and I'm going to do it God's way, it is written. I have 100 scriptures up here that I like to run over the altar. And now, that's a miracle. A year ago, I'd have fell down up there and couldn't got away from there. Here's 100 scriptures. When I couldn't read them, and I have them on tape, running back, whenever I couldn't read them, and whenever I couldn't do anything else, I would write them, and I would give them to my wife and say, read that to me. And she'd read them. She'd pick them up, and I'd write them out. And she had to learn to read my chicken scratch. And that's pretty tough, because sometimes I have a tough time reading it. Like in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, my best friends would come along and say, and tell her, he's dying. Well, see, that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God. When the word says, I'm healed, you don't look healed. Faith perceives something long before it ever becomes evident. Now, you have to be a willing participant, because if you don't, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. And that's what the devil's out to do. He's out to kill you. You say, well, I'd have made heaven. Yeah, I would. But you know, because of this, one of my best friends has gotten saved. Now, how much is that worth in the kingdom of God? The people that I've been able to testify to that says God is a healing God. He loves you. He wants you to have the very best. He said his angels charge over thee. And see, we hear that and we say, oh, yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Wait till some buzzard sits on your fence waiting for you to die. You're going to get serious with God. You're going to pick up paper and wave it in his face. And the devil will say, it is written. It's not my opinion. It's not what either, whether I believe anything or not. It is written that he would above all things that I prosper and be in good health. It is the will of God that I be healed. He said in Isaiah that by his stripes we are what? I didn't say that. He did. His word is eternal. And I grasp hold of this, and this is one of the testimonies that you gave me that I got to share. And I've shared it all over everywhere, because everywhere I go, I get to tell somebody about God healing me. About the eagle coming down off that limb, whooping out across the river, and grabs a fish that's too big to pick up. Have you preached here? I'm sorry. I'll mess it up for you. Okay, the eagle's flapping around in the water. Under he goes. What's going to happen to the eagle? It's either swim or sink. And Bubba, that's where I was. And Calvin said, he'll tell you this a lot better than I will. It's 150 yards or better to the shore. Eagle hits the surface again. And with grit and stamina, because you have to understand that an eagle's talons, whenever they catch hold of something, they can't turn loose. It's either go or die, because they're stuck on it. Well, that's what happened to me. I was stuck on the word, stuck on what was written to God. And had I got there, I said, listen, I did everything the way you said to do it. How come I died? And he'd have to explain it to me. And I've got another sermon about a guy that was sent in after a flood. He sent a jeep after him, a boat after him, and a helicopter. And he died, and God told him, I sent a jeep and a boat and a helicopter after him. And that's why you're here. But I did it his way, not my way. And it hurt. Does the word say that you will not hurt? What does it say? Long suffering is what? Fruit of the Spirit. You don't want to hear that, do you? Well, you better. Because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free, and you'll win in the conflict of the spirit realm by doing that. Anyhow, this eagle grabs his fish. Galvin's seen it. Eagle pops up to the top water and starts swimming, flapping his wings. He's headed to the bank. I've got something stuck on my feet that I can't turn loose. Because whenever they clap onto something, the ligaments are notched in such a way it's just like it's stuck. And they can't turn loose. So he swims all the way against the current to the bank. It took him a while to get there. But when he got there, he hops out on the bank with his fish tucked in and proceeds to eat. Now, folks, that's what I want you to do. If I can do it and win, you can too. Hello? If I can do it, you can. But you're going to have to put a committed trust in God beyond anything you've ever imagined. You're going to have to say it is written. That means you're going to have to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman rightly dividing the word of truth that needeth not to be ashamed. You're going to have to get the word and put it in you. Because it's life and death. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And I want to add this to you. In the beginning, God said. Now, I'm not one of those lame it, claim it people. I'm going to tell you what the word says. In the beginning, God said. And everything he said came about. Throughout all the ages, when the prophet spoke, he said. And it come to pass. When Jesus spoke to the devil, and Jesus said. Faith cometh by what? Hearing what? The word is forever. When Jesus had been tempted of the devil for 40 out in the wilderness and come back, and then he was being tempted, he said, it is. Now, whenever you get in a situation that you can't control, go to the Word. Pick it up. The promise is there. And say, it is written. Thus saith the Lord, God host of heaven, I will not fail, that if I believe in my heart that those things that I ask for, I will have them. I'm healed. And I told his sons, that group that had just come back from Mexico, I said, I don't care. And I just, remember? I said, just in a whisper, I don't care what you see. I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb. That's been done. And the word of my testimony, because I say so. Because it's the will of God. He said, I would above all things that you prosper in what? And Jesus went about healing everyone. Every time you hear about the apostles and Jesus, they healed everyone without exception. You say, oh, well, I've heard this old adage, well, it might be the will of God. Show me in the Bible where it's the will of God to steal, kill, and destroy. And tell me who it is that does that. Because when you're dead, you're not telling anybody anything. But whenever you're alive, you're going to fulfill the gospel. When he said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach this gospel, baptizing them in the name of them, as we talked this morning, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. On and on you can go with the word. And it's the word that'll pull you out of it. I wrote down, and believe you me, there was times whenever I had to reaffirm everything I said. Sometimes it was every day. Sometimes it was three times a day. I would go back and read them out loud. I had it on tape, and I'd play it in my ears. And I, whenever it gets hurting so bad, folks, I've been alone at the house many times. My wife had to go to work. And I'm telling you, the onslaught of the devil would come so bad. I was hurting so bad, dying would have been easy. All I'd say is, I've had enough, and I've been dead. And I'd say, I'm a child of the King. I've been washed in the blood. It was shed for me for my healing, God is on the throne. I will not succumb to Satan. I've chose to live and not die. And I'm going to live regardless of what happens to me. And I tell the devil that, pacing in the living room at a slow pace. Tears running down my face. I've wandered across my front yard. I was a pitiful sight to behold. Crying. And when I get done crying, I didn't complain. I start praying in tongues whenever I couldn't say anything else. Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto whom? And you pray the will of the Father every time you do that. Now you got to understand those things. Now, my sword wasn't real long. I wasn't real big. But I purposed in my heart that if I'm the only one that's going to win this battle this way, then I'm going to win it. If I'm the only one that's going to believe God this way, then I'm going to do it. Because that's the way he said to trust in him. Absolute trust. And you can ask my wife. I committed it. I said it's going to be this way. And it's going to be the word of God that gets me out of it. And I didn't back off of it one iota. You say, Brother Benny, why did it take 16 months? You ask God. How long did Job go through his trial? I don't know, but it took a while. How long will your trial be? I don't know. What are you going through? Find out what the Word says in your life. Whenever you reach a point that perplexity is beyond what you can figure out, well, I don't really know what the Word says, then pray in the Spirit. Every time it comes up, never say one negative thing. Do you hear me? And just pray in the Spirit. You know what? That makes the devil mad. Because he don't know what you're saying. And you can stop and say, I've prayed the will of the Father. And you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you hurt so bad that even morphine doesn't stop the pain. Folks, I got strung out on morphine eventually as hospice had put me on it. That's one thing that brought me some relief. And it scared me senseless because I didn't always know exactly what I was doing. Whoa. That's dangerous. I went to Albertson's one day and decided I don't need to be behind the wheel of a pickup. I got home and I stayed home. But see, I picked one little project every day to do something. I was bound determined not to be a bed case. I'm not going to lay here in this chair and die. I'm going to get up and do something. Now, I might make a total mess, but I'd get up and do it. And that's the way I worked at it. I refused to quit. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Now, you're going to say, well, what if this happens again? You know, my sword's gotten sharper. And besides that, you devil, that's doubt and unbelief. And I don't go for that. And I found out who my friends were, those that would come and pray for me. I found out who my friends I thought were, wouldn't come and see me. The pastor that I had came to see me one time. Hello. One time. And in 16 months, I never saw him again. And the same man. Now, I've gone back to work. If you can call what I do work. And I was sitting at the golf course having a hamburger at lunch. And that same pastor, I'll give you an idea how close we were. I'm sitting at a table right here. He's just outside that window, and he walks past it, and he hasn't got time to come in and speak to me. Now, are there people out there like that that are preachers? Yes, they are. You know what God shows me? Talks about the shepherds that are hirelings. They don't care what happens to the sheep as long as they get paid. Folks, I'm concerned about you and what the trial that you want to go through. Now, if God will do it for me, he'll do it for you. That's what I want you to understand. The Word of God will never perish nor pass away. Find out what the promises of God. If you're sick, Find out every healing scripture. Write it down. Read it out loud. Say, when you get done, this is mine. I claim it in the name of Jesus. And guess what? The more you prayed, the more I believed, the sicker I got. You can say, boy, that's good. But I never quit. I never quit. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep. I don't have a voice. That ought to shut somebody up from preaching. Not me. If I have to write it down on a pad, pass it out, you're going to hear it. You're not going to stop me. Is my voice coming back? Yes. I want to tell you how, John, I had a voice that I could sing all four, the bass, the tenor, the baritone, everything in a four-part singing group. I could sing it all. I could hit the highest of the highest notes. It's hard to believe that, isn't it? Am I telling you the truth? Am I telling the truth? He's a slow learner. Anybody eat carp bait is questionable. Especially when on the bag it says carp bait. So, we'll let him go. We'll use my wife. The voice that I had, I could imitate any noise I heard. Turkey, birds, squirrels, anything. If it made a noise, I could imitate it. And I'm telling you, there was nothing. And this is all I have now. And I can whistle a little bit now to get, because that's the only way I can get anybody to pay any attention to me. Because I can't holler at you. I can't stomp my foot loud enough. So I just whistle at you. I've been thinking about giving one of those police whistles, but I think they're a little irritating. So I'm going to do the best I got with what I got to do with. If I've been dealt lemons, I'm going to make lemonade. And let me tell you something, I'll eat anything. I've eaten many a pound of carp bait. It's good stuff. The store-bought stuff is deadly, though. Don't eat it. They tend to want to spit it all over your boat, and you got to clean it up. But I've eaten many a pound of carp bait that I've made and got fat doing it. But the God that we serve tonight is a loving Father. He's not out to stomp on you if you make a mistake. And we need to get that old time. I don't know where that come up from, but the scripture come to me this morning in Sunday school. The devil comes immediately to steal away the word that was planted. And in the garden, he didn't steal it away, but he said, what to Eve? By deception, he said, you'll become as gods. You'll know everything. He wants to inject something in there, some pleasure-seeking thing. Oh, yeah, that'd be good, yeah. That'll work, yeah. I'd like that. But the end thereof is death. So when we yearn doubt, what does the Word say about it? And that's the final answer. And somebody comes along and tells you, well, Benny, I don't think you're going to make it. Well, get thee behind me, Satan, because I don't care what you say. I know what I believe, and I know what God said, and it's eternal, and he watches over his word to see to it that it's performed. That's it. It's all scripture. And whenever you start quoting God's promises, he's got one thing to do, and that's honor his word. You say, well, how long will it take? Well, it took 16 months for me. How long will it take in your condition? I don't know. Now, in this trial that I have gone through, you say, Brother Benny, how did that affect you? Well, it devastated me. You dropped from two incomes to one, and you're going to ruin your household. Insurance paid about $200,000+. I went $56,000 in debt. I lost every credit card, every amount of credit that I ever hoped to have. It was flushed down the toilet. You say, how can you sit up there and grin like a possum eating yellow jackets and it's all gone? Because it's just stuff. And I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't supposed to be able to get my telephone back because I lost it. And I walk in and I said, this is my testimony. And I begin to tell them about God. Good phone. I begin to tell them about God and share with them my testimony. And within an hour of them listening to me, the guy picks up the credit thing and walks to the back. And it's just like he kind of walked back there and come right back around there and says, Mr. Schaefer, we want to fix you right up. Now, that's a miracle that I have my telephone. It's a miracle that I've kept my truck. The day I've got a 1997 Ford F-250, four-door, V8 with a diesel, power stroke. It's beautiful. It looked like a brand new one. The day before all this happened, I bought it. It had 50,000 miles on it when I bought it. It has, in 2 years now, it's got 59,000 miles. It sat in my driveway for almost 2 years. Boy, it's pretty. How did I keep it? I don't know. How do we keep the lights on? I don't know. My wife's check will not cover our bills. How did it work? It don't take many weeks before pretty soon you're out of money. And whenever you're out of money and you can't take any more treatments, you're going to die. And I refuse to give up. You say, how are you making it now? Well, I'll tell you what, God's making a way every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. I wake up in a new world just like a chicken. Oh, it's good. You say, well, do you hurt still now? Yes. I got a scar down this leg about 3 foot long. I've got this scar over here where my head won't turn but that far. This arm, these three fingers are numb, and it won't hold anything. And I'm a carpenter because I have to be. Jesus was one. But I've had many a thing handed to me, and I'm just right on the floor. And I can't pick up a saw with it. But I tell you what, look at this. And before it wouldn't work at all. I'm a living, breathing miracle. God sustained me by His Word because I took Him at His Word. Now, you say, well, that's fine and dandy. That might work for you. But I don't think it'll work for me. How did you get saved? If you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 10. Let's look at it. Romans 10. Go down to verse 8. I like getting out here where I can see people. Calvin got me a preaching revival at Seymour, Texas one time. Now, I want you to tell you about Seymour while y'all looking up Romans 10, verse 8. They bought the Assembly of God there bought the Methodist Church. You could drop this in the first quarter of the auditorium, this church right here. When everybody showed up, they were about this number of this center aisle here, and every one of them sat at the very back. It's a football field from the podium. I couldn't even see if they were grinning. And I've got good eyes, except for reading. And this guy can testify to that. I don't need binoculars to see things far away, do I? I can spot it. I like to hunt and fish, and I can see it. And I can tell you what it is without having to look in the binoculars. And the pastor was up there with me, and I said, have you got a little podium and a microphone or anything else? He said, I got a little podium. I said, let's get in and come and follow me. And we went all the way to the back of the church. And I got within two rows of, I can get up and look in their faces and see, this is Spitter's Row. If I spit on you, you'll be all right. I like to get up where I can see people. That way I know if you're asleep. It's kind of like the pastor said, He's telling the psychologist, he said, my wife snoring bothers everybody. He said, it does, yeah, especially those people at church. But you see, you can have a good time after the trial. I wouldn't any of you have to go through what I've been through, but if you have to, I'm going to tell you what, I did it. And it worked because I listened to some others that had gone through it and put their trust in God and said, I will live and I will not die. And I will be an overcomer because the blood says that I can be one. His word says that I can be one. And I will be one. And whenever I get to where I can't, I told the wife, should I go into a coma, put the headphones on my ears, put the tape in, run it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Did I not tell you that? I refuse to quit. I'm hard-nosed about it. Well, I didn't want to die. Why? Because I can't be that testimony. And to add up this testimony before I say this, John Bishop, a guy I went to school with, we graduated 1969 together. He says, Benny, he called me every day of my sickness when he found out about it. How's Benny? And the wife could talk to him because she couldn't hear me on the telephone. And he said, John, he's really bad today. Or he's done a little better today. And or he's, John got saved because I won this victory. And he is precious to me. He said, before I left to come down here, he said, Benny, and every time I get around him, we cry. It don't take much to make me cry anyway. He said, Benny, he said, God just healed you. That's all, but he saved me. He saved me, Benny. He made you go through this so that I get saved. Now, how did you get saved? Romans 10, let's read it. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in word. Thy mouth and in thine heart, this is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You said it with your mouth. You said it with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God. God raised him from the dead. I believe it in my heart. That's how you got saved. I didn't write this stuff. This is a couple of thousand years old. It's the Word of God. Follow the example. When you get in a tight, don't give them a piece of your mind, which is exactly what the devil would like for you to do. Say, it is written. Young people, whenever the devil comes along, starts tempting you with drugs and alcohol, women, all the good things. It looks good. I'm going to tell you, there's not any of these in here haven't gone through that. It looks, and it, oh, even eating. There's a good side to it. I like to eat. I like good tasting food. But there's always a price to pay. And that price is death. And so whenever it comes up to you, say, oh, it won't hurt you, say, it's written. I'm going to do what God has to say about this. I'm going to abstain, that means stay away from the very appearance of evil. And whenever you let that kind of life reign in you, let me tell you something, whenever I walk down the street, devil better run for cover. Because I've got the whole armor of God on, and my sword is sharp. And if you don't think I won't poke you an eye with it, you got another thought coming. Because I love this, and I heard this many, many years ago. And the number's 24. It's coming up 24 years ago. You put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with preparation with the gospel of peace, your loins girded about with truth, and everything's put on real good and tight. Pull down your visor. Now, the devil can't tell whether he's dealing with Jesus or you. I love that. Never give him an inch because he'll take everything he can get out of you. But if you'll trust God, it's simple tonight. a man will have, the scripture says, whatsoever he saith. Hello? If your song is gloom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery, then stay away from me. Okay? Because I live in life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life more abundantly. I'm tired of being poor. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of being sick and poor. Why? Because he said I could have it. If he said he come to that your life and you might have it more abundantly, how can you go around sick as a dog and have an abundant life? You can't have one. And just say, I'm sick of this. Well, we know that. Now do something about it. Take the word and apply it to your problem. And God, Jeremiah 12, he says this, 1 and 12. He says, I hasten my word to perform it. Other edition says, I watch over my word, that if I said anything, I'm going to do it. You can get all kinds of versions come up to say what God had to say. Get your Bible, folks. This one isn't there, wore out. You ought to see my sword, the other one. It's same Bible. This is nice, Sylvia. And the pages are falling out of it because I've marked them, remarked them. And whenever I get in trouble, I go back and I read it. And what the word says, that's what it says. And look at this. Talks about old death. Where is thy sting? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, Bubba, I'm not dying. In Ecclesiastes, the writer says, I've seen men live a long time. They've lived 70, and anything after that is by the grace of God. You know what the church accepted is? 70 is men. You know what God said? He limited man's age to be how long? This may be new to you. 120 years. We fall short of that, don't we? Moses lived exactly 120 years. That's one of the reasons he didn't get back in the promised land. He lived because God said after they lived for 700 to 900 years, he said they see forests go up and fall down. He said, man, they're just living too long and they're evil every day. I mean, this, but can you imagine your kids being that way? He said, I'm going to limit them to 120 years. Now, the writers of Ecclesiastes said his observance was. Now, if you want to live 120 years, go for it. I'm serious. I didn't say it, and if you don't believe it isn't in there, go get your Strong's Concordance and dig it out. And you're going to find out a lot of things God said, a lot of things preachers said, don't all match up. Go back to what God had to say, not what we have to say. If he says, this is yours, grin like a possum eating yellow jackets and get it. Healing was mine because he said it was. Now, there are a bunch of other factors in this. I call Calvin. He said, if there's any among you that are sick, let him call together the elders of the church. Following the instructions of God, I call Calvin. I said, I want you to come and pray for me. I want you to anoint me with oil. Guess what? Somebody said, well, you must have had sin in your life. Well, I can take care of that. The scripture says if you do that, and if you have any sin, it'll be what? Forgiven. Well, if there was a problem, it's taken care of. Hey, that's pretty good. But I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong. But the trial still come. Everything the word had to say, whenever you get sick, let people, these signs shall follow them that what? And Bubba, I want people that believe lay hands on me. I don't need a bunch of doubting Thomases. And this is why I can stand here before you tonight and say, thank you, for you have believed. You have, and I do this. And this is one of the most powerful things. Whatsoever, Matthew 18, 19. Whatsoever any two of you shall agree on earth as touching any. Say that real loud.
Anything.
He said he would do it. And every time I'd get around somebody that I knew that was of like and precious faith, I'd say, let's agree. I'd open the word and let's stand on it. Never come off the agreement. Now, in closing, and I've shared this already, Smith Wigglesworth was one of the greatest men of faith that I've ever read about. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Do you remember whenever God spoke to him and said, go pray for this lady? Well, whenever he was growing up, you either walked or rode a mule or a horse, or there wasn't a lot of transportation at that time. So it took him a little while to get over to see this lady in town. When he got over there, a lady met him at the door and said, well, I know you come to pray for her, but she's dead. She's died. And Smith Wigglesworth, in obedience to God, said, ma'am, God told me to come and pray for her. Come on, you know where I'm headed. God told me to pray for her. Where is she at? She's in there laying on the table. He goes in there. She's laying on the table. Folks, she's as dead as Lazarus. But she don't stinketh yet. Now, this is where God tells you to do something. You do it regardless of what you see and hear. He took that lady up, slammed her up against the wall, stood back and said, walk! She's alive now, and it's documented because the doctors had been there and declared her dead. Lazarus was dead, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he hadn't said just Lazarus, there'd have been a whole hillside of dead people coming out of there. Now, if God tells you to do something, and you get there and you say, oh, Brother Benny's dead already. And God said, come pray for me. I don't care. Stand me up against the wall. Tell me to walk. Guess what? Your heart better be in good shape, because I'm fixing to walk. Nothing, the scripture says, shall be impossible to them. And we get scared because we see something or we hear something that's contrary to what we perceive to be the truth. And we quit. And we miss the mark of the high calling of God. Never stop. Never quit. You've been a blessing to me. You've blessed me by praying and standing in agreement. I noticed that I'm going to look up here right quick. It's gone. There it is. And I may be wrong, but I'm going to look. I can't get that open. Open that up for me. Prayer request. Right down in there it says, Reverend Benny Schaefer. That's me. Now don't quit praying for me, because I've still got a few more miracles to happen in my life. One, I'd like to get that noise making back. I love to inject a lot of noise in my preaching. So don't quit just because you think I've got this far, because we've still got a few things that we have to do. I've still got a few things that I've agreed on that haven't come to pass yet. I ain't quitting. And whenever I hear about your problems, I stand in agreement with Calvin. Right there on the phone, it makes an eternal difference. I say, I ain't coming off the agreement. And every time your name or your face flashes before me, Father, I thank you that we stand in agreement that which we have agreed upon will come to pass to your glory and your honor, because you said it, and we're proceeding to operate on your word. Now, folks, it'll work in your life tonight. You decide, am I going to win or lose? The power of life and death is in the tongue. You decide. Choose this day life, not just life, but life more abundantly. Now, I love you, and from my heart, John, thank you for letting me have this time, because I took it away from me, and I appreciate that. Pastor, thank you for letting me have this time. Congregation, my heartfelt thanks go to you, because you prayed, and you believed, and you didn't quit praying. Thank you.